Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome everyone to the Board of Equalization meeting. We have 21 items on this agenda. And so we'll move to the first item, which is to adopt an order calling for this special meeting.
I'll make a motion that we approve number one as stated in our agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number one. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Second item is this process, review the process report.
I'll make a motion to approve that we approve the equalization assessor's report as stated number two.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on number two. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. I'd entertain a motion on number three.
I move that we approve number three
motion
as stated.
Second.
Okay, a motion and second to approve item number three. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay, now we have a reinstate taxable status to primary residential on some parcels. Is there some comment or discussion on this one, Bert?
Hang on. Yeah, I believe Jim Stevens from the assessor's office is on the call, so if he probably this would probably be his.
These were residential property declarations that were filed by owners of rental properties in error. They marked that they were non-primary, and so they have made application and submitted documentation documenting that they are indeed occupied by full-time rentals. We just combined these into the one agenda item. Just to save some time, but all of the documentation was uploaded for each individual parcel.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd recommend approval on all of them. I've spoken to all of the owners.
Great. Thank you for that. There's no further discussion or comment on the commission level. We can entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve number four with all the parcels that are listed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item four as stated. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay, now we have item number five. Let's see, are we still with Jim?
Yeah, this is just similar, but just a little bit different. This owner had a home in Orem, primary residence. That was his primary. He had a condominium at Sundance that was his secondary. They sold the Orem home in early June and moved into the condo as their full-time residence, and they're requesting the primary residential exemption.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward. Entertain a motion on number five.
I move that we approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number five. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0.
Thank you.
Item number six.
Yes.
We'd like to speak to.
Oh, sorry, Commissioner, I didn't mean to overrun you. This is Bert Hart with the Clerk Auditor's Office. This is one that was continued from last month that the board asked for additional information. If we could find out more information about from the appellant statement, Sally Leo contacted them. She did leave a comment, but I've also asked her to just explain to the board what Mr. Perez told her.
Hi, this is Sally. Mr. Perez stated that he and his wife both contracted COVID in late June, early July, and he said that they only started feeling better in the last month.
So having missed the last one, we were just waiting to hear if there was a medical emergency that helped justify the missing the deadline. Is that basically what we're getting at here?
Yes, essentially, Commissioner. He stated that COVID was the reason he was not able to file on time. Sally was able to clarify that both he and his wife had contracted COVID, and that and they're basically stating that due to the effects of the disease on both him and his wife, they weren't able to, they weren't in, I guess, good enough health or in a capacity they could file their appeal prior to the deadline. So I guess that's the basis of their petition.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion on number 6.
I'll make a motion that we approve the petition as stated for the medical exemption or for the medical causes that they outlined.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 6. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Item number 7.
Okay, item number 7. This is a gentleman who is, again, requesting consideration under the medical emergency exemption. He stated COVID was also the reason why he wasn't able to file on time. He did not... his full explanation was COVID difficult circumstances. Sally again spoke with Mr. Borgit. He stated that he had family members that were sick from COVID. He did not have to take care of them, but was stressed from their illness was his reason. So I guess take that for what it's worth.
Okay, that doesn't seem like it quite meets the threshold to me. But I don't know if there's any further discussion. I'm happy to entertain a motion.
So I would move to deny on this one.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to deny item number 7. Those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay. That passes 3-0. Item number 8.
Okay, this petitioner is requesting consideration on basis of a factual error. He states he believes that the county is assessing the property at 100% of value when the property is only 50% completed. This would be have to be verified by the assessor's office. If they agree that this is a factual error, then this appeal could be open up to correct the error. I don't believe he's requesting any other consideration.
This is Bert Garfield from the assessor's office. It is true we believe this property would have been finished as of January 1st, and we assessed it as if it was 100% finished. The notes in there say that they work on their house, as I take it, here and there, and so they are taking a long time to finish it. So we, there's a strong possibility that the house isn't finished, so we don't mind accepting a late appeal for that factual error possibility.
Okay, thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion on number 8.
I move that we approve the petition as stated number 8 on our agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve number 8. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 9.
Okay, number 9. The petitioner is requesting consideration. Sorry, I don't have that one in front of me just quite yet. That's the wrong link. There we go. Anyways, the petitioner is requesting consideration On the basis of extraordinary extenuating circumstances, they bought the property. They closed on the property earlier in the year. Let me see. Okay, so that's what's going on with this one. The property was purchased earlier in the year, but because I guess in the course of the purchase, the current parcel numbers or serial numbers were killed, and new serial numbers are being assigned for 2021. Now this is a standard problem we have because the ownership change is not going to get recorded this year. It's not going to go into effect until next year. So in this case, the notices would have all been sent to the prior ownership, which is the owner of record for the old parcel number. This is a very common occurrence every year. We deal with this every year. This is just simply the nature of when a parcel is sold and the old legal description is changed and a new legal description is created and a new parcel number is created. This happens frequently. So in the course of what the owner is kind of asking for consideration on, no, the notices were not sent out to the new owner because the new owner is not the owner because of the parcel killing and a new parcel number assigned. Sorry, I'm probably jumbling that, and I apologize, but that's the basis of their petition.
Okay.
So, Commissioner, it looks like the parcel was purchased in January. Is that right, Bert?
Yes.
I believe that's correct, Paul. But because the parcel number was killed, even though it was done in January, the parcel number was killed. That the effect of the ownership change doesn't take effect in the system in terms of notification and everything else like that until January 2021.
So under most circumstances, we would have given them the valuation notice, but for the parcel issue, right? The parcel number issue?
Right.
So I'm confused because it doesn't say in their application that they received a notice.
Yeah, I was pulling that up.
I think they received their tax bill, but not the valuation notice in time to appeal the value is how I read it.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's helpful. Thanks for that clarification, Paul. So with your fake office. Okay. In that case, I would entertain a motion for number 9.
I'll make the motion that we approve the petition as stated number 9 on our agenda.
Sorry, second.
We have a motion and a second to approve number 9. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Number 10.
Okay, number 10. This petitioner is requesting based off of factual error. His factual error that he's basing it is he just doesn't feel the property value is he feels the property value is too high. He's submitted an appraisal. An appraisal would not fall under a factual error question simply because a factual error relates only to the physical characteristics or other verifiable characteristics of the property. An appraisal, of course, is an opinion of value, albeit an expert opinion of value. So this would actually fall under either an appraisal code or a market code for the appeal. It would not be a factual error. So given that there's no factual error here that can be verified or considered, and the petitioner really didn't provide any other explanation other than that for why they weren't able to meet the filing deadline.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we deny number 10.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to deny number 10. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0. Item number 11.
All right, number 11. Let's see. Okay, this is again a purchase situation. The owner purchased the property on in July. The deed was recorded on July 14th, which is not only after we have already submitted the evaluation notices to be sent to the printer, but it's also several, it'll be several weeks, about 3 to 4 weeks, I believe, before that deed will be recorded and worked and the ownership change will be affected in, within the system. So in this case, the new owner would not have received the valuation notice, but they did get the tax notice to their new address. So in this case, you know, this is where the county has complied with the notice requirements. We sent the notice to the owner of record at the time the notices were printed, because the old owner was the legal recorded owner, and they and the new owners obviously did not file a petition or did not realize the value until they got the tax notice in October.
And this is the case with both 11 and 12.
Well, yes.
They closed on the property, still didn't get the notification, so it's the same. Has the same tendencies.
It's the same tendencies. This is a common problem every year, and this is a common problem regardless. You know, when you sell property during this time period, obviously a deed getting recorded and worked, you know, right around the same time the valuation notice is going out. You know, it's just the nature of how that happens. So that's why the law, of course, states that the county is required to notify the owner of record at the time. And at the time, we did notify the correct owner of record.
Right. So I'm in favor of both these being approved. They have, it looks like they've just either closed on the property or got the deed for the property. All they're doing is going after the appeal for the evaluation, which they're right in that fair market, trying to figure out what that fair market is for their property. So
yeah.
I'm in favor of both these being approved.
Okay. Entertain a joint motion on those two.
I'll move that we approve both items number 11 and 12.
Second.
We have a motion and second on to approve items number 11 and 12. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Item 13.
Item 13, the petitioner is requesting consideration under the medical emergency exemption. He did provide an explanation on page 2. The complication is due to a baby that was born premature and a wife that had to recover from a very difficult delivery. This is his reasoning for as to why he wasn't able to meet the filing deadline on September 15th. I should note that also he does not really provide us a timeline as to when that happened, but he does state that it was summer and fall that this was going on. So.
And I get the impression from this, and I don't know if you've talked with him or not, but it sounds like that their baby was probably in the NICU unit for a long period of time. I'm reading into that. Doesn't actually say that, but
yeah.
as it's being written, it sounds like they possibly could have been in there for a long period of time.
That's probably a reasonable assumption without any other clarifying information.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy to entertain this one.
I'll make a motion that we approve the petition as stated number 13 on our regular agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item 13. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Item 14.
Okay, item 14. the petitioner here is seeking seeking consideration under the failure to notify. He provides an explanation that he did not receive notification of the tax increase prior to receiving his actual tax notice. Basically goes on with that. Looking in the county records to verify, the county records show that both the tax notice and the valuation notice have been sent to the same address for at least the past 4 years, and none of them have not been marked undeliverable during that time. So basically he's feeling like his valuation is too high due to a factual error. The one question on this that probably could be considered is, the record showed the land classification this year was changed from agricultural to commercial. I would probably boot that back to the assessor's office to agree or not whether that would be a factual error that could affect the valuation of the property in a significant level.
So I didn't pick up that part when I was reading down through it.
Okay.
I started off just with this is a no.
Right.
But more explanation on that part would probably be needed.
Right. So just in looking at this petition and going over the information that he's provided, the failure to notify really probably doesn't factor in this because obviously the counties comply with the notification requirements. But what he's but in the nature of the appeal, the county did change within the lands record system. What I looked at, the valuation of the property was changed from an agricultural valuation to a commercial valuation. Now, I don't know myself if that necessarily will affect the land valuation to a point, and if that change in classification would be considered an error or not. That would be the assessor's office to verify that, or agree if they need to look into that. So
and that happens at the first of the year?
Yeah, that happened in the first of the year. So last year his land was valued, the land valuation was classed as agricultural. In 2020, the land valuation was classed as commercial.
Okay.
Do we know, what was the two values?
Let me pull that up in the system, I can tell you. Okay. Okay, so in 2019, the property valuation for the land, this is just vacant ground, the property valuation for the land was in the agricultural category. It was valued at $99,700. This year, the property valuation was moved to the commercial category and valued at $565,900. Again, his premise is that the value is too high, and he feels the property should still be agricultural, not commercial. And if the classification changes the value and that was an error, that could be a factual error that could open up the appeal. But as far as the notification, the county has complied with the notification requirements as needed, and he's not providing any evidence that we have not done so.
And obviously he was assessed on the higher value.
Yeah, this year, his taxes are assessed on the higher value.
But there's not a greenbelt issue here.
There's not a greenbelt issue here. No, the property is too small for greenbelt. It's only 1.17 acres. And I don't know if there's anyone from the assessor's office on the call who would like to speak to whether this would be a factual error or not, or anyone in the room from the assessor's office who would like to speak to that. But I'm just saying that, if there's a place for this to be approved, it would not be in the notification. It would be along the lines of the classification question.
Yeah, I'd like the assessor's office to weigh in on this.
Just a quick note on that. If the assessors intentionally changed it to commercial, then there's no factual error. There might be a disagreement about classification, but it wouldn't fall into factual error.
Bert Garfield isn't here in the room, but he doesn't have the history on this, and I don't believe Peter Jepson's on the call.
Yeah, because I'd like to know how does that happen? Does that just get reclassified and then they get a notice on that, it sounds like the property owner didn't initiate. But I mean, it's weird though, because if your property goes from a lower value to a higher value, you're usually clapping and saying hallelujah. You got, it just went up in value. So I'm not quite sure how this process worked.
Generally speaking, I can't speak for this particular parcel, but if a property use changes, we will just change it from agricultural to commercial. They're not necessarily notified that they're being changed.
Oh, but this is just raw ground, right? So if it's just raw ground, there's no use change.
Or the zoning could have been changed, or it could have been different reasons.
Huh.
But I thought Peter would be on the phone to help.
I don't know if this helps. I just pulled it up on the parcel map, and it does have It's a small piece with frontage on Redwood Road. That helps. That's so it's likely it was changed intentionally.
Yeah, it was likely changed intentionally.
By
an assessor employee, yeah. So we figure what's the highest and best use of this property, and if it's fronting Redwood Road and it's an acre of land, it's probably commercial. But if you want to approve it so we can get more details, that's fine too.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, this is just to, again, for a hearing on the property value. And so I think just on the safer side, I think it'd be wise to probably just approve it. I mean, I started off with a no on the factual stuff that you're talking about, right. But I think in light of this, I'm more in favor to approve it.
Okay.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
Commissioners, if you're going to approve this on factual error, you should probably note that the only thing that the hearing officer should review would be as to whether or not the classification was a factual error and not other valuation considerations.
Because that's what the application put forward? Is that why?
Well, the reason I say that is because the application did not even claim factual error. The application claimed they didn't receive their notice. Now, as part of that, they mentioned that their classification changed from agriculture to commercial. And then Mr. Harvey suggesting that perhaps maybe that was a factual error. And while you can grant the application under factual error, it doesn't open the door to appealing all value considerations. If you're going to transfer this to a factual error, then you can only review the factual error.
So what do we have to do to approve this so that it can be reviewed all the way through?
If you want it to be reviewed all the way through, at this point, I don't know that you can find grounds that notice wasn't given appropriately. That would be grounds to appeal the value completely. But like Bert mentioned, our records indicate that valuation was noticed to the same address for the last 4 years. The other, medical emergency and extraordinary circumstances notice, those issues will open up the value discussion. Factual error is limited to simply reviewing the factual error.
And I would like to point out that the application really did not include any other documentation other than basically the statement. So really the application could only be looked at as a factual error anyways. So the petitioner did not include additional value-based documentation. He is basically, his entire premise is that there's a factual error in the classification of the property.
Can we then continue this so that the owner can be explained, the circumstances of what's going on and what possibly might happen, so they can either say factual error or not, or if they want to say there was other extraordinary circumstances, they can amend their application.
We can certainly reach back out to them if the board would like further information from the petitioner. That's not a problem. Our next meeting is on December 10th, I believe, December 2nd, we could bring it back before the board at that point.
Well, I'll make a motion then that we continue this till December 2nd. Number 15.
Second.
Or, no,
14.
14, yes.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to continue item number 14. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Passes 3-0. Item number 15.
Okay.
And actually, maybe the preface for 15 through 21.
Yes. I'd like to preface this that these items were continued from the previous Board of Equalization meeting. And it was the understanding of the premise of moving these items to this meeting that the discussion is surrounding whether or not to accept the premise of the argument for all of the, for these seven appeals of whether or not the COVID global pandemic actually qualifies as a as an access interruption, a qualified access interruption event that would then allow them to these property owners to seek tax relief under that part of the law. There was a lengthy discussion in the last Board of Equalization meeting. These items were continued to this meeting. If the board decides to accept the premise, of course, then each one of these appeals will have to be discussed individually. It will probably require us to have a closed meeting. So I believe the discussion for this meeting was just simply to continue the discussion about whether the global pandemic will qualify as an access interruption. And if it does, then we will then move these, we will then continue the, these could then be continued to the next regularly scheduled monthly meeting and actually heard and have each individual appeal actually heard. That is just a quick summary from the, our last Board of Equalization.
So I'll speak first on this. As I've worked through this issue, I believe that there's a preponderance of evidence, that being that it's just barely over 50-50 on it, that there is, in my mind, some access problems there, some interruption. And so I think as we're looking at this as a possible two-stage, that I would be in favor of stating that there is that access interruption for all the items that are listed on the rest of the agenda.
Okay, I could concur with that.
Okay, I view this differently, but I'm happy to entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion, and Paul, I probably need your help on this. Would it be to approve the request for tax relief due to access interruption, and that we will continue the conversation when it comes to the market value? Or the market's value, or the value, I should probably just say value, that is the second stage of what we're talking about.
Actually, my recommendation would be simply to continue this without making any findings. You'll continue this and signal to the applicants and to the assessor's office that at the next meeting you would anticipate taking evidence on the value impact of COVID-19 or the access interruption. I think your motion should simply be to continue.
Okay.
I'll
make a motion that we continue items 15 through 21 on our agenda with an understanding that we've had some discussion on this as a commission, and you can listen that there's two of us that feel like there's at least there's some access interruption that has happened.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to continue the item as noted. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. I'm happy to. So that passes 3-0. That passes just to continue it. I'll note my objection. To finding access interruption. Okay. I believe we're ready for a final motion.
I'm sorry, Commissioner, just a quick note that these would be continued to the next regular monthly BOE meeting, which would be December 10th, just to make sure that was clear.
For December
16th.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Sally, for reminding me that was apparently, we need to clarify that date. I apologize.
So just to our next meeting. Is that fair enough?
That's fair enough. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. I'd entertain a final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. We're now adjourned.